Here, Joshua, Psalm chapter 18. Joshua on the brain. So how did you do after Sunday? Conflict resolution, step one is to pray, right? Did anybody mess up and fail the class on Monday? Oh, come on now. Be honest. Okay, we have one. Anybody else? Besides me, I'll tell you Sunday. I'll tell you about it Sunday. I was on the road all of 10 minutes before I messed it. And I'll share that with you on Sunday. So it's a good, this, that, the series on conflict resolution has been really good for the preacher. I hope it'll be a help to you. But certainly we should be people of prayer. And David was a person of prayer. We're in Psalm 18. Not like Psalm 17, which just said a Psalm of David. This one has a huge paragraph underneath Psalm 18. To the chief musician, a Psalm of David, the servant of the Lord, who spake unto the Lord the words of this song, in the day that the Lord delivered him from the hand of all his enemies and from the hand of Saul. And he said, I will love thee, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my buckler, the horn of my salvation and my high tower. I will call upon the Lord. Hey, we sing that song. Kids sing that song. I will call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. Let's just sing that tonight. You okay? So let's just sing that together, and then we're going to do a round. You ever done a round? Okay. Let's ready? I will call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be safe from my enemies. I will call upon the Lord. Okay. I don't know if I can do a round by myself. Are you ready? Ready? I will call upon the Lord. Will call upon the Well, you did a good job. I will call upon the Lord. Isn't that great? And that we sing that song, but most people have no idea it came from Psalm 18. We sing the song, but we don't call on the Lord. We call on the preacher because we want a different position than what the Lord gives. I would like to report to you that I did not have to tell anybody today. I am the preacher of the Word of God. I can only give you Bible direction. And you don't want Bible direction. You want somebody to agree with your position. So just go ahead and do it. Skip the call the preacher thing. Say, you didn't say that to somebody today. I did, but not to one of you. I'm just happy to report that. Wasn't anybody that's sitting here or anybody that's going to be sitting here on Sunday morning. It's amazing. A phone rings where people call from. I'm a Bible preacher. We should absolutely call on the Lord, and we should look for the Lord to tell us what to do. David did that. And he was saved from his enemies. When you do not call on the Lord, you call on your Facebook friends, call on revenge, which is what a person today wanted to do. They wanted permission to attack someone. And I don't know how many churches they called, how many preachers they called today, trying to find somebody that would agree with them. You know, a multitude of counselors, there's safety. That means you just keep calling preachers till you find one that agrees with you. I don't think that's what that means. That's what they were doing. When you call on your friends, you can only get what your friends can do. But when you call on the Lord, you get what the Lord can do. And the Lord delivered him from his enemies. The sorrows of death, how bad was it? The sorrows of death compassed me, and the floods of ungodly men made me afraid. The sorrows of hell compassed me about. The snares of death prevented me. It's bad. In my distress, I called upon the Lord. Now, sometimes David just called on the Lord because he was just overwhelmed in his heart. Sometimes he called in distress. Here's the thing. If you don't call on the Lord when things are going good, you won't call on him during times of distress. Because calling on the Lord is a habit. It was a habit of David's life. He heard my voice out of his temple, and my cry came before him. Look at the confidence that he has that God hears and answers prayer, his prayer. Then, so you call on your friends. Your friends can't do verse 7. But God can. Then the earth shook and trembled. The foundations also of the hills moved and were shaken because he was wroth. Because somebody, Saul, was going after one of God's sheep, somebody that God loved, someone that was a man after God's own heart. You don't want God to be mad at you. I don't want God to be mad at me. There went up a smoke out of his nostrils, and the fire out of his mouth devoured. Coals were kindled by it. He bowed the heavens also and came down. The darkness was under his feet. He rode upon a cherub and did fly. Yea, he did fly upon the wings of the wind. He made darkness his secret place. His pavilion round about him were dark waters and thick clouds of the skies. At the brightness that was before him, his thick clouds passed. Hailstones and coals of fire. The Lord also thundered in the heavens, and the highest gave his voice. Hailstones and coals of fire. Yea, he sent out his arrows and scattered them. He shot out lightnings and discomfited them. Then the channels of water were seen. The foundations of the world were discovered at thy rebuke. O Lord, at the blast of the breast of thy nostrils, he sent from above. He took me. He drew me out of many waters. He delivered me from my strong enemy and from them which hated me, for they were too strong for me. They prevented me in the day of my calamity, but the Lord was my stay. He brought me forth also into a large place. He delivered me because he delighted in me. The Lord, you've got to love verse 20. There is a confidence in living right. The Lord rewarded me according to my righteousness. According to the cleanness of my hands hath he recompensed me. And I wonder if that's why we don't pray. Because our hands are dirty and we have no confidence that God is going to hear. But David had confidence that the Lord was going to hear his cry. For I have kept the ways of the Lord and have not wickedly departed from my God. For all his judgments were before me. I did not put away his statutes from me. I did not call the preacher and say, I know what the Bible says. I want to know what you say. I want somebody to give me permission to take vengeance. I want somebody to justify me in my righteous indignation. So every once in a while I'll say, hit him in the nose. As long as you do with Christian love, it's okay, right? And everybody always laughs when I say that. Why? Because it's not okay. And David said, I found out what God told me to do, and that's what I did. I was also upright before him, and I kept myself from mine iniquity. Therefore hath the Lord recompensed me according to my righteousness, according to the cleanness of my hands in his eyesight. With the merciful, thou shalt will show thyself merciful. With an upright man, thou wilt show thyself upright. With the pure, thou wilt show thyself pure. With the forward, thou wilt show thyself froward. For thou wilt save the afflicted people, but wilt bring down high looks. For thou wilt light my candle. The Lord my God will enlighten my darkness. For by thee I have run through a troop, and by my God have I leaped over a wall. As for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. He is a buckler to all those, not just David, that trust in him. For who is God, save the Lord? Or who is the rock, save our God? It is God that girdeth me with strength and maketh my way perfect. He maketh my feet like hinds' feet, and setteth me upon my high places. He teaches my hand to war, so that a bow of steel is broken by mine arms. Thou hast also given me the shield of thy salvation, and thy right hand hath holden me up, and thy gentleness hath made me great. Thou hast enlarged my steps under me, that my feet did not slip. I have pursued mine enemies and overtaken them, neither did I turn again till they were consumed. I have wounded them that were not able to rise. They are fallen under my feet. Thou hast girded me with strength unto the battle. Thou hast subdued under me those that rose up against me. So here's David. Saul has slain his thousands. David his 10,000s. Who gave him the ability to do that? God, thou hast also given me the necks of mine enemies, that I might destroy them that hate me. They cried, but there was none to save them, even unto the Lord. But he answered them not. Desperate place to be. Then did I beat them small as the dust before the wind. I did cast them out as the dirt in the streets. Thou hast delivered me from the strivings of the people. Thou hast made me the head of the heathen. A people whom I have not known shall serve me. As soon as they hear of me, they shall obey me. The strangers shall submit themselves unto me. The strangers shall fade away and be afraid out of their close places. The Lord liveth, and blessed be my rock. Let the God of my salvation be exalted. It is God that avengeth me and subdueth the people under me. He delivereth me from mine enemies. Yea, thou liftest me up above those that rise against me. Thou hast delivered me from the violent man. Therefore will I give thanks unto thee, O Lord, among the heathen, and sing praises unto my name. Great deliverance giveth he to the king, and showeth mercy to his anointed, to David, and to his seed forever. That's a long passage to read. And I have then, as I've traveled in the car today, I played that over and over and over and over again. I thought, man, just a powerful passage. And it needs to be read. I have lots of notes, and we will not get through them all tonight. But this is a powerful passage. We want to go to killing the enemies and trample them under our feet without being right before God, without going to God, without God's power and God's strength, without being obedient to God's word and God's statutes. That's just not David. What's also interesting, Psalm 18 is a psalm of David. Now, David is, I will love thee, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress, my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust. What you do not see in this is David saying, God's taking care of me because I'm kingdom. He's not going to talk about his royalty. He's a servant of the Lord. The best leaders that Israel ever had were servants of the Lord. The best leaders you will ever be, fellas in the home, are a servant of the Lord. Moms, to your children, you can be a tyrant. You can be a force to be reckoned with. And I'll tell you what, every once in a while I'll meet a woman that she's a force to be reckoned with, and I'll go to my wife and I'll say, thank you, don't ever die. Because I met the devil sister today. Not David. He was a servant of the Lord. And here's David singing. Now, it's interesting about Psalm 18. He's not singing this song in church. He's singing this song to the Lord. Now, I am blessed because, and preacher, you expect him to be up front. And so when I sing, choir's down, I'm singing, the piano player is here, and I'm singing, and I can't see you, and you can't see me, and I get an opportunity just, when I sing in the front row, I sing to the Lord. When we sing, "Take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to thee," I'm not singing so you can hear me. I'm talking to the Lord. David's talking to the Lord. God printed it so that we could see it. Many people sing to be seen. David just loved God. He's a man after God's own heart. That's what I desire to be, and that's what you ought to desire to be. Just a person that sings to the Lord. I enjoy singing and seeing no one. Now, Mrs. Bishop, every once in a while, she'll sit in the back or towards the back, and she'll say, "I can't sit here." And you'll see her in the next service. She's like here in the second row. Why? Because there's too many distractions back there. You sit in the back and say, oh, there's a baby. Oh, and I'm up here going, "They ain't listening to me. I can't out-preach a baby. I'm not that cute." They are. Mrs. Bishop, she likes to be up front. Why? Because there's no distractions. David's no distraction. He has a pressing, professing love for the Lord. I took a phone call just recently from a pastor is in a possible situation, and he just needed a friendly voice. And I'm always honored when a preacher calls me for a friendly voice, and they're not going to get criticism or a kick in the backside. And I just said, "Hey, lots of people going through a difficult time. You are not alone." And I told him the city, and I said, "I'm glad that you're there, and I'm glad that you've done it." And I said, "Young guys don't want to go where you're going." I said, "Young guys want to go to a place that has lots of people and new buildings and no problems." And this is what he said. "Yeah, I think sometimes the young guys are smarter than we old guys." But here, those big places, they have big problems. The young guys just don't know it yet. So what would cause a man to stand in a place that has trouble? What would cause David to stay faithful to the Lord in trouble? There's one thing. Love. Love for the Lord. Who calls you to stay faithful to your spouse when trouble comes? And trouble's coming. I mean, we make you say it in your vows. For better, for richer, for in. Man, that's depressing. You're going to be poor, you're going to get sick, and it's going to be bad. Mrs. Bishop and I were married for all of 1 hour. We're in the car, going on our honeymoon, and she's over there on the right seat. She's, "What are you crying for?" And something happened. I had to put on my, "You want to mess with me?" face. "You mess with me, it'll be the last person you ever mess with." Anyway, and she'd never seen that in me before. And so she was crying, "I've never seen you like that before." I said, "Well, it was to them. I'm protecting you, girl. My rod and my staff, they comfort me. I'm taking the rod and the staff, I'm beating him. I'm not beating you." And you go to tonight, and she won't tell you who it was. But you say, "Now, on your wedding night, when Pastor made you cry, 1 hour into your married life, were you happy that he did?"
She'd go, oh, yeah. Wasn't pleasant at the time. And David just, he just loves the Lord. What caused her to stay with me? I would like to think love. What caused the preacher to stay there in a hard situation? Love for the Lord. Otherwise, man, he's going to run. Lots of preachers have run. My dad lives here. Within 60 miles from the place where he sits, there are 20 Baptist churches without a pastor. And that's not an unusual thing. Preachers are running because it's hard. David's not running. I take that back. David is not running from the Lord. David is running to the Lord in Psalm 18. And he professes trust in the Lord's merciful deliverance. So God just doesn't do this for preachers. And without betraying a confidence in the room this evening, took a phone call, I don't know, maybe 2 years ago. It might be 3 years ago, I don't know. Probably 2 years ago. Pastor, this, something terrible's gone on. This is what it is. What should I do? And this is what you do. Boom, 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 boom. Well, this is what, No. But they're putting, no, don't do that. Do this and this and this. And for the past 2 years, it's been bad. It's been on our prayer sheet as an unspoken request. You haven't prayed? Oh, maybe you have. But regularly at the altar, a person's been down here praying. Do you see people pray at the altar? You should pray for them. You really should. So I make my way around to people when they're praying at the altar, because many times I know the burden they're bearing that you don't. And I've knelt by them and prayed for them. And this week, in the last 48 hours, God gave them a victory that is beyond explanation. And the phone rang and it's, Pastor, it's so good! It's so good, and you're the first one I called. Why? Because we've been praying together. For God, because I couldn't do it, and they couldn't do it, and David can't do it, but God can do it. Move mountains, and the thunder roars, and the enemy. If you're beloved of the Lord, that's God's enemy. His nostrils are foaming out that fire, man, and God moved the mountains, and God thundered to his honor and his glory. God saw the child being bombarded by the relentless attack of the enemy, and he afforded his grace. Thus, the king of Israel, Saul, became the enemy of God because he attacked the one after God's own heart. You may think that you are in such a lofty position that God can't touch you. You might want to read the life of Saul again, because you are never in a position where God can't touch you. And so, I want to find out where God is, and I want to hide behind God and God's Word. I want to get out in front of Him. I don't want to be on the fringe. I want to be hiding in the shadow of the Almighty. Justin Sholley, 29 years of age, volunteer firefighter, set 3 fires within 30 hours. That boy is going to jail. Going to jail. Nick Pasquale, I don't know who he is, Hollywood actor. I didn't recognize his name. I didn't recognize what programs he was in. Not something I follow. He decided to take matters into his own hand, and he was just sentenced for the brutal stabbing of his ex-girlfriend. Maybe he thought he was a Hollywood guy, he could do whatever he wanted to. And he was given 32 years to life. You can indeed take matters into your own hands. But it will not end well. But you can give your problems to the Lord. He is the avenger of the righteous. Many times I think we fall into the pattern of vengeance. Vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Because we know we're not right. And we know God's not going to help us. So we've got to do it ourselves. Father, I pray that you'd help us to be motivated to do what is right. Powerful, powerful chapter. Many, many verses reminding us what a wonderful, powerful Savior that we serve. May we be found hiding in your shadow. Well, thank you for your faithfulness and praise you for your salvation. Rejoice in the victory, giving you the praise, honor, and glory in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. If you have a